Look at the last phrase of verse 43. Paul and Barnabas, they followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Now, while I was looking over this congregation, obviously I can't see in your heart, and you can't see in mine, but I would say that most everybody in here believes that salvation is by grace. I believe that. I believe if I would ask each person here, do you really believe that salvation is by grace? I'd say pretty much everybody in this room would say, yes, I do. A preacher said to me not that long ago, he said, I'm not worried about anybody in our congregation trusting their own righteousness. And I thought, I worry about trusting my own righteousness. I don't want to be presumptuous about this. You believe grace. I believe grace. Here is the question. What do we do with grace? That may seem a little different, or maybe even an odd title, because my first concern is not what will I do with grace, but what will God's grace do with me? That's my first concern. Now, the grace of God is His saving grace. Always. It never does not save. God's grace is saving grace. I love to think about what all is involved in that. That means He chose me before time began. That means He actually made payment for all my sins and made them not to be. That means He actually justified me and made me stand before Him without guilt, having never sinned. That means He gave me life, life that came from Him, divine life. That's what was given in the new birth. That means He preserves me. He keeps me. The reason I continue in the faith is because He causes me to continue in the faith. One of these days, I'm going to realize it all. I'm going to be perfectly conformed to the image of Christ. Now, God's grace must do something for me, in me, with me, and to me before I am ever enabled to do anything by His grace, with His grace. But you'll notice that Paul and Barnabas told them to continue, to persevere, to endure in the grace of God. Now, I love verse 42. I like to picture this in my mind. I don't remember it ever happening to me. I guess I understand why. I'm not Paul, but after Paul was finished preaching, the Gentiles begged. They besought that these things that they just heard that hour, or however long it had been, might be preached to them the next Sabbath. They actually begged. We want to hear these very words again. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and the religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them. And that's what preaching is. It's persuading. I want to persuade you to believe. I want to persuade myself to believe. It's not just throwing things out there. No, I want you to believe. I want to persuade you to believe. And I want the Lord to persuade me. You know, every time Paul, like when Paul says, I'm persuaded that He is able, guess who persuaded him? The Lord did. I want the Lord to persuade me. And I want to persuade you. I want you to persuade me to believe the gospel. Now, before we look at this thing of what are we to do with grace, I want to remind you of what grace is. Lynn was, and I were driving home today, and she said, boy, some very familiar scriptures that we hear all the time just came with power to me. And don't you love the Bible? You can hear the same thing over human writings. It can't be that way. But the Bible, this is God's Word, and something as simple as by grace He is saved, that comes with power. It comes as good news. As old as it is, as many times as you've heard it. I love what Paul said. He said, to write the same things to you, the same things, to me is indeed not grievous. It's not irksome. It's not vexing. I don't get tired of it. But for you, it is safe. Now, let me give you some of the same things that will remind us just what grace is. Here's what grace is. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's what grace is. Noah was included in that group that God saw that their wickedness was great and that every imagination of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. But Noah found grace. Same scripture as this morning. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ by grace. By grace are you saved. Turn with me to this scripture, Romans chapter 11. Verse 1. I say then, has God cast away His people, these Jews who reject the gospel? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of the Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away His people, which He foreknew. Wot ye not what the Scripture saith to Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel? Saying, Lord, they've killed thy prophets, they've digged down thine altars, and I'm left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved. Now there's the difference. I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. I love that way of describing election. The election of grace. I love that way of describing grace. The election of grace. And then he makes this statement in verse 6. If by grace, it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. You put one work in salvation, and it's no more grace. It's works. You make the whole thing of works. But if it be of works, don't call it grace. If any work is in there, don't call it grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Now, I want to give you a number of scriptures, and I'm not going to comment on them very much. I'm just going to give you these scriptures that tell us what to do with grace. And here's the first, found in Acts chapter 15, verse 11. We believe that by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. Even as they. Now this is spoken in the original in such a way as you could fairly translate this. We believe that by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've been saved. We believe by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're being saved. We believe that by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved. Here's the point. Believe grace. Believe grace. Rely on His grace. Rest in His grace. Rejoice in His grace. There's the first thing to do. Now, I know we can't do anything, any of these things, unless His grace enables us to. But if we know anything of His grace will enable us to do these things. So the first thing is believe grace. Now, if I believe grace right now, you know what? I'm going to be relaxed. I'm going to know that all God requires I have because salvation is by His grace. I'm not going to be despondent. I'm not going to be fearful. Believe grace. In Romans chapter 1, verse 5, we read, by whom we have received grace. Receive grace. Someone says, well, what's that look like? Well, 1 Timothy 1:15 says Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. I'm a sinner. I receive that for me. It's that simple. I give you $10, you receive it. Receive the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I think a very powerful illustration of what it means to receive grace is Paul in 2 Timothy 1:12 when he says, I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded He's able to keep that which I have, what? Committed. Deposited is what the word means. Like you go to the bank and deposit your money and you leave. It's with the bank now. It's not up to you to take care of it. It's up to the bank. Now, when I commit my salvation to the Lord Jesus Christ, I am committing everything to His keeping. If He doesn't do it all, I won't be saved. And I am committing. No plan B, no contingency plan. If who He is and what He did is not enough to save me, I won't be saved because I have committed to Him the entire salvation of my soul. And I receive His grace. Here's another familiar scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Be by grace. What's that mean? Well, I'm a sinner. I don't say that flippantly. I don't say that, I hope, hard-heartedly. I hope I say it with a broken heart, that I'm a sinner. And it's by the grace of God that I'm a sinner. I would never know that apart from His grace. And I know that. Be by grace. I'm saved. I'm a saved sinner. And I know that's by the grace of God. God chose me. And that's by His grace. He redeemed me. That's by His grace. I'm a justified sinner. And that's by the grace of God. I'm a believing sinner. That's by the grace of God. You be by grace. I'm a repentant sinner. That's by the grace of God. I love God exactly as He's revealed in His Word. I love His way of saving. That's by the grace of God. Be by the grace of God. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And listen to this scripture, 2 Corinthians 8:9. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this word know, it means a whole lot more than correct information. Adam knew his wife, Eve. Joseph knew not Mary. This word knowledge is not just having correct information. It has something to do with love. You love. Not only do you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, you love the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be rich. Love the grace of God. I shall see Him face to face and tell the story, saved by grace. And then we read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, the writer to the Hebrews said, "Let us have grace." And that means literally, let us hold to grace. Let us hold on to grace by the grace of God, so we're not going to let go. We're holding to His grace. He said, "Let us have grace that we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." And that can only be done by having and holding to grace. Now this is I hold on for dear life. I will not hear anything else. I will not receive anything else. I will not love anything else but the grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's a similar one in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9. You can write these down. I'm not asking you to turn to them. But the writer to the Hebrews says, "Be not carried about with strange doctrines, but let your heart be established with grace." Now, strange doctrine is anything contrary to grace. And oh, we have a tendency to be tossed to and fro by anything that's not grace. And He says, let your heart be established, settled, grounded, founded in grace. Don't be carried about with strange, weird doctrines. Something that has something to do with some part of salvation being dependent upon what you do. No, let your heart be established with grace. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Paul is speaking to Timothy and he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Now, the only way I can be strong in grace is if I'm weak in myself. You know what Paul said, "When I'm weak, then am I strong." And you're strong in grace when you rely only on His grace, when you believe only in His grace. Strong in grace is an all or nothing proposition. I was talking to somebody. This has been several years ago, and I never will forget what he said to me. I was trying to talk to him about the grace of God. He said, "You know, I think I'm starting to lean toward grace." Oh, leaning toward grace? Oh, I'm sure the Lord's thankful for that affirmation. You don't lean toward the grace of God. You're strong in grace. Now, if you're a believer, you're strong in grace. You know the only way you can be saved is by grace from the beginning all the way to the end. And it's an all or nothing preposition. You can't mix grace and works. They exclude one another. Be strong in the grace that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've already read that passage in Romans 11:6. If it be by grace, it's no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. You put one work that you need to do to make it complete, the whole thing is by works. The whole thing. But if it be with works, don't call it grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Now, I like this, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. This is a very familiar scripture. The writer to the Hebrews gives us two things to do with grace. He says, "Let us come boldly under the throne of grace." Yeah, but you don't know what sins I've committed. It doesn't have anything to do with it. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. But nothing. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Well, I need to wait till I feel so guilty. I need to get this fixed. No, right now. Let us come boldly, without reservation, to the throne of grace. Why? Because it's the throne of grace. That's my right to come with boldness. It's a throne of grace. If I don't come with boldness, that means I'm looking to myself in some way. I'm looking to my works or my evidences or something to do with me. Well, that'll stop you from coming boldly. I realize that, but remember, we're coming to a throne of grace. Let us, that's speaking of every believer, let not conscience make you linger, nor a fitness fondly dream. The only fitness He requireth is to have a need of Him. Let us, every believer, every blood-bought child of God, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God's favor, God's free, unmerited favor to help in time of need. And I don't know if a time is not a time of need. I love that line in that song, "I need Thee, precious Jesus, for I am full of sin." Is there ever a time when you cannot say that? My soul is dark and guilty. My heart is dead within. I need the cleansing fountain where I can always flee. The blood of Christ, most precious, the sinner's perfect plea. And then we read in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul was giving us his experience. He was brought into the third heavens. What an experience that must have been. He said, "I heard things that are not lawful for a man to utter." Now, anytime you hear somebody describe going to heaven and coming back, you know they're lying, because Paul couldn't even give a description of it. And these phonies say, they tell us what? Nah, it's a lie. Try and call attention to yourself. But Paul did go into the third heaven and heard things that were unlawful for a man to utter. He said, "Of such a one will I glory. I'm so thankful the Lord did this for me." I love the way he calls himself, "I knew a man in Christ." He didn't say, "I was there." He says, "I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Caught up into the third heavens. And he heard unspeakable words which are not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory. But of myself, I'll not glory." Now you remember when he tells about that thorn that was given to him. Who gave it to him? God did. "The messenger of Satan to buffet me, to strike me black and blue." And he said, "I asked the Lord three times that this might be taken away." And he didn't say, "No, I'm going to leave you with it." He didn't say that. And I know why he didn't say that. Because if he said, "No, I'm not going to take it away," Paul would have said, "Well, okay. You know, I'm not going to worry." But he did say this: My grace. Oh, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. My grace is sufficient for thee. You don't need anything else. My grace. Oh, find His grace to be sufficient grace. Nothing else is needed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, Paul made this statement. He said, "In simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God. We've had our conversation in this world. Our conversation is our lives, our walk through this world. We're doing so in simple dependence on the grace of God. Now, I want to say this carefully. I read this by John Newton, and he made this statement. And I can see where if somebody ever lost a child, they might find it offensive. I can understand that. But here's what he said. He said, It takes as much grace to deal with breaking a teacup as it does losing a child. Now, I would not in any way I can't imagine losing a child. And he wasn't saying that to diminish that. But what he was saying by that statement is we are utterly dependent upon the grace of God for everything. Everything. Right down to the breaking of a teacup. We won't handle it right. We'll blow it. We'll mess it up. We're utterly and completely dependent upon the grace of God for everything, all the time, for all things, big and small. By the grace of God, we've had our conversation in this world. Now, in Acts chapter 20, Paul talked about it. He said, I know wherever I go, bonds and afflictions are waiting on me. I'm going to go to this town to preach the gospel. I know what's going to happen. I'm going to be tied up to a post, and I'm going to get beat with the cat of nine tails. I'm going to go to the next town, and I know what's going to happen. They're going to stone me. I know what's going to happen. I'm going to go to the next town. They're going to throw me into prison. Paul said, I know these things are waiting on me. Everywhere I go, this is what abides me, bonds and afflictions. But hear what he said in verse 24 of Acts chapter 20. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear to myself that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify. To testify the gospel of the grace of God. Give me your testimony. Salvation is by grace. That's my testimony. Well, expand on that a little bit. Salvation is by grace. Can't you say something more? Okay, I'll give you something. Salvation is of the Lord. That is my testimony. I know that's so. This is the testimony of every believer. We testify the good news, the gospel of the grace of God. Now, twice in the book of Acts, Acts 14:20 and Acts 15:40, we read of recommending the grace of God. I like that word. Recommending the grace of God. Or commending is what the word means. Commending the grace of God. You know what I want to do for you and what I want you to do for me? To commend the grace of God. Paul said, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace. You know, the Bible, everything in the Scripture is the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. I love this Scripture. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow in grace. Now, you can't separate growth in grace from the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And once again, that doesn't just mean accurate data and proper doctrine that you adhere to. When Peter says, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, you know what that means? Dwell with them according to love. Dwell with them according to love. Now, the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ is the love to the Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in grace. Now, that means so many things. Grow in your understanding of grace. Grow in your need of grace. Grow in your love of His grace. Grow in graciousness. That's what grow in grace is. Grow in graciousness. Be quick to forgive. Quick to show mercy. Quick to accept your brother. Grow in grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, grow in humility. Grow in meekness. Grow in being merciful and non-judgmental. Grow in grace. Isn't that something you want to do? What do I do with grace? Grow in grace. That's a command. And it's something every believer can do because it's grace. He doesn't say grow in something you have the ability to do. It's grow in grace. That ought to give everybody in here a very encouraging attitude toward that. It's a growth in grace. God's grace. And then we read this scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge, and in all diligence and your love for one another, see that you abound in this grace also. And he's talking about the grace of giving. See that you abound in this grace also. I love that scripture in 2 Corinthians 8, 9. It's in 9, 7. It's in chapter 9. God loveth a cheerful giver. Now that word is where we get the word hilarious from. It's so enjoyable that you laugh. It's fun. It's enjoyable. It's a privilege. It's not a burden. It's not a duty. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's better. It's better to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, in this thing of growing, I want to grow in this thing of giving. I want to become more generous. Every believer wants to become more generous. See that you abound in this grace also. And then in Galatians chapter 2, verse 21, Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, if my righteousness before God has anything to do with any act of personal obedience on my part, if righteousness came by the law, then Christ has died in vain. Now, you and I both know that God's grace can't be frustrated in the sense that it can't be stopped. God can't intend to have grace on somebody and then they put a stop to it. They won't let Him do it. That's so silly. Blasphemous. God's grace saves. He never tries to save. God's grace saves. It's not an offer. It's saving grace. But if I think that my righteousness before God is because of anything I do, I make the grace of God meaningless. I nullify the grace of God. I have never really understood grace in the first place if I think that righteousness comes by the law. And then, finally, in our text, verse 43, Acts chapter 13, verse 43. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and the religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas. Oh, they were so excited about what they heard. Here's a sample of what they heard. Look at verse 38 of this same chapter. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. We want to hear that again. We'll preach that again to us next week. We want to hear that again. They besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. So, the congregation was broken up, and many of these people followed Paul and Barnabas. And what was the counsel of Paul and Barnabas to these people? Well, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Now that means to persevere, to abide. Same word the Lord uses when He says, abide in me. Abide. It means to tarry. You know, you tarry in a place you enjoy being. You don't want to go. You like being right there. You tarry in the grace of God. You remain in the grace of God. You remain. You don't want to be anywhere else. The grace of God. The Lord said, if you continue in my word. That's the word, same word. If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Now, here's a commandment that truly is not grievous. He persuaded them to continue. I want to be one of those people, don't you? Somebody who continues in the grace of God. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank You for Your grace. The free, saving grace that is in Your Son. The grace that caused Him to leave His riches and for our sakes to become poor, that we through His poverty might be rich. Lord, give us this attitude of these people who, hurting the grace of God, wanted to hear again and again and again. And Lord, let us, by Your grace, continue in Your grace. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Dwayne, could you come lead us in closing hymn?